Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I guess the biggest news this week, folks, is that AEW has yet another signing, yet another big announcement, and this person is Jay White, who a lot of people were speculating was very close to signing a WWE contract. Now, some people are saying the minute Vince McMahon seemed to be back in charge, things swung over this way. I'm being told Jay White had no serious talks with the WWE. And I'd be surprised if he had any serious talks with the WWE, because let's be very honest, the WWE would have not used him in any huge capacity. He would have been more than likely upper mid-card or lower main event type guy, at best. At best. His style, his whole persona, everything about him screams not WWE. Much, much better off in AEW. Now, had he went to NXT, that's a different story. But in the WWE, I think there would have been a problem. And, of course, he looks at people that he knows and has worked with, and he sees how some of the people ended up that went to WWE. And look, here's the problem. WWE superstars are different in a sense. And that means that you need a different skill set. You don't necessarily have to be a fantastic wrestler to be a huge WWE superstar. But likewise, you can be a fantastic wrestler and not be able to be a WWE superstar. And it really doesn't have anything to do with, well, the WWE mishandled me. Sometimes they do mishandle people. But it really has to do with you don't have that ability. You may be a terrific athlete. You may be able to do things in that ring that's phenomenal. But at the end of the day, there's something that you don't have. There's a lack of ability to draw fans to you, a lack of ability to break through to the audience and really grab people. And that's what people don't realize. You know, they have all these talents and they say, look how talented I am. And I went to Japan and everybody says I'm wonderful. And I went here and everybody says I'm wonderful. And all the indie fans say I'm wonderful. And then you get in front of a WWE crowd and the crowd's like, who's this guy and why should I care about him? And they say, yeah, he's a good wrestler. So what? Ricochet's a good wrestler, too. He can't break through that. Johnny Gargano is a fantastic wrestler. He can't break through that. He's trying. He's trying hard. Not really working. Now, you could say, well, that's because the WWE is misusing him. Well, how do you want him to be used? The only way you could use him in WWE that he would be successful is to make him a very serious, non-comedic, straight-up, I'm a pure wrestler. And the WWE audience don't want that. That's not what people tune into WWE for. See, that's the difference. They tune in to the WWE to see larger-than-life characters, gimmicks, people who have a lot of charisma, even if they don't have ultimate wrestling talent. I mean, look at Bray Wyatt. You can say what you want about Bray Wyatt, and I know a lot of people don't like him, but the bottom line is he's a big merch mover. And when he's on the top of his game, fans are eating him up. Is he a great wrestler? No. Is he a great character? Does he have the ability to reach out into that audience and grab you? Absolutely, and that's why he's a superstar. Now, we could argue that Brock Lesnar is a great wrestler in the sense that he's a legit UFC champion. So, of course, he's great in the ring, but he doesn't use it. He doesn't use anything. What's he use? A few punches, a few kicks, suplexes, and an F5. That's it. When's the last time you've seen Brock Lesnar really go whole hog and wrestle down on the mat and do moves? No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't have to. He has the ability to reach into that audience and relate to people. That's what it takes to be a WWE superstar. I don't know if Jay White has that or even wants to have it. I think he wants to rely on his wrestling talent, and I think he's better off in AEW. Now, having said that, so did I think Adam Cole, and that didn't work out too well. So did I think Cesaro, and even though he's over in Ring of Honor, and is that really working out? Is he a super, superstar? No. So I think you have to make a decision in your career. Do I want to be a wrestling purist, and do I want to use my skill in the way that I want to use it and let the fans know that I'm great in the ring and hopefully be used in a good manner in AEW, but at least be able to ply my trade in a way that I'm able to use all of my skill? Or do I just want to be a superstar where everyone knows my name? Everyone, recognizes my face, and I'm doing 3 and 4 minute matches where I really don't have a lot of time to ply my trade. Jay White could walk through a department store right now, and it's one single person, except the hardcore wrestling fans, would ever look at him twice and say, "Oh, that I know who that is." Baron Corbin, who hasn't won a match in how many years? Everybody knows. Everybody would know. Otis, is he a huge superstar? Everybody would know. Every single person. Mustafa Ali, every single person would know. The lowest people on the pole, everybody would know. That's what WWE has to offer that AEW does not. In exchange, AEW offers you a chance to actually fly your trade and wrestle to the best of your ability and not be handcuffed or constricted by, you need to, do this match in 5 minutes or, 4 minutes and out, or you don't get a chance to do half of what you want to do. That's what AEW has to offer. Out of those two, Mike, I think that Jay White probably made the right decision if he wants to be a purist, sort of a wrestler, and not just a quote-unquote superstar.
Yeah, I think so, too. And think about this. I guarantee you, when Enzo was hot, nuclear hot, everybody was wearing his wig and all that stuff and sunglasses and stuff, I guarantee you, he walked through a store or a mall or something, and then y'all go, "Oh, that's Enzo,"
yep.
WWE superstar Enzo. I guarantee you also, even though she's been away for a while, Lana goes walking through a store, just picking up whatever she's picking up, whatever. I guarantee she still gets people asking for her autograph. I guarantee you that, because they recognize
her. Yeah, that's what WWE does for you. Miro, same way. You'll recognize him, but you're not going to recognize him as Miro as much as you say, "Oh, that's Rusev." See, that's where it comes in. This is the same thing. Let's say you're an actor. Michael Caine, who happens to be my favorite actor, has been in movies where, they're Academy Award-nominated movies. But he openly admits, "I'm more recognized for movies that were really not very good movies, but they were commercially successful." How many people have seen this movie that I did that was up for awards but was kind of artsy-fartsy and only appealed to people who were into these artsy-fartsy movies as opposed to Jaws? So there'll be more people coming up to me saying, "I saw you in Jaws, the third or fourth one, whatever it was. I saw you in this movie." Or, "I saw you in Undeadly Ground with Steven Seagal." Then there will be people coming up saying, "I saw you in this artsy-fartsy film." Now, the artsy-fartsy film allowed him to really do some acting, allowed him to really read the script, look at the lines, and say, "This is going to take a qualified, trained actor of my caliber to do this part the right way." And I guess if you're an actor, that's like a wrestler saying, "This match is going to take someone with a great amount of skill to pull off." but he's still recognized more for the dude who says bloody hell and jumps in the water when the shark comes up. And you know why? Because it's more commercially successful. So the WWE is a much more commercially successful based company. And because of their marketing and because of their broad commercial appeal, you become more famous. So that's the question. The question is, do you want to be famous or do you want to be known as a great wrestler? Mike, I think that's why we might see the flip with MJF, because I think probably in his heart of hearts, he'd rather be famous.
Yeah, in his heart of hearts, he'd rather be famous, you know. And that's the thing. You look at some of these things. I mean, Mercedes Moné had the look, had this, that, and the other, and I guarantee you, they're not looking at her as a Mercedes Moné. They're still looking at her as Sasha Banks. Even though she's, you know, we know her problems. We put that aside. I'm just talking strictly the character, you know. I mean, think about it. Yeah, Jack Nicholson did, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and As Good as It Gets and A Few Good Men and this, that, and the other and The Shining. But what was one of his biggest movies? Batman 1989.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. You know, at the end of the day, if you're a movie buff and you say, you know, I watch all kinds of movies and I watch their, you know, their acting ability is the most important thing to me, then you're like the AEW fan. But if you're someone who says, well, I just watch the commercial movies, you know, I think of Robert Downey Jr. and I think Iron Man. Yeah, because that's his most commercially successful movie, his best acting roles. That's not even close to his best acting roles. That's the most commercially successful, so that's who he's known as. Same way with sitcoms, same way with anything else. There are a lot of people who could have done a lot of things in their acting life, but they're known as, oh, yeah, you were the guy that was on whatever, or you were the woman who was on such and such. So, again, it's different. Jay White is the type of guy, I think, that would much rather ply his trade and be known as a great wrestler than a superstar. And Todd, that's where the difference is. Some people would rather be as widely known as possible and as famous as possible, while other people would rather ply their trade in the way they want.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with some of these athletes, not just in the WWE, also in AEW, like you said with MJF, he wants to be like more famous than being an athlete and everything. And look at him, every time they come to Long Island, New York, he gets cheered out
right of
the building. He's famous there.
See, and this is the thing, Mike. This is why people like John Moxley, Chris Jericho, the Hardys, they say, well, I don't see the problem. I'm just as famous, or Miro, I'm just as famous in AEW as I was in WWE. Yeah, because you were in WWE to begin with. That's why. Your fame is already there. You've already established your fame before you hit AEW. But I don't see the same reaction if Sammy Guevara is walking down the street as opposed to, let's say, The Miz. Who's going to instantly get more of people saying, oh, that's that guy? It's going to be The Miz by a long percentage. And the reason is they're just more famous. So I think Jay White probably made the right move. FTR also re-signed. Now, listen, I have a problem with FTR because they pulled the same shit with the WWE, and that's basically saying bad things about the company because we want to leave. We're thinking about leaving. We're probably leaving in hopes that the WWE would say, we'll give you everything you want and full creative freedom and the titles and everything. And the WWE said, no, because we don't see that in you. So then they pulled it with AEW and said, well, we're not happy here and we don't think we're being used right and blah, 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 blah. And Tony Khan did bow and kiss the ring. So this is the difference. I don't mind people trying to negotiate the best contract you can, but then at least come out and say, look, I was trying to negotiate a contract and of course I want the most money I can make and the best working environment I can get and stuff like that. But now they're coming out saying, we never said we were leaving the... Yes, you did. You said it on many occasions. You called AEW on the carpet constantly. Now all of a sudden that you're re-signed, it's selective memory loss. No, we never did anything like that. We never had any serious negotiations. Well, maybe you didn't, because I'm not sure the WWE wants you back. Because, again, you're extremely good wrestlers. But your charisma level in a place like the WWE, where they're filled with charismatic people, is not high. That's the thing. If you've got to out-charisma some of these other people, you're in trouble. Because you're not going to do it. And what's the tag team divisions right now? New Day, yeah, you're going to out-charisma them. Usos, yeah, you're going to out-charisma them. Alpha Academy, yeah, you're going to out-charisma them. Street Profits, yeah, you're going to out-charisma. You're lost in that seat. I'm sorry, because you're not going to have that that charisma. So you probably made the right decision too, but just don't lie and say you wasn't thinking about leaving. Maybe you really weren't, but you certainly said it plenty of times. So, Mike, I mean, you know, AJ Styles kind of did this where he said, well, you know, I'm keeping my options open. And a couple of his friends from AEW tweeted they'd love to have him over there. That was enough to scare Vince McMahon into giving him everything in the world that he wanted. But he never once badmouthed the company. He never once said, they're not using me right, I don't like to hear, blah, blah, blah. He just said, well, I'm just going to keep my options open and see, you know, what the best deal I can get is and what company I can get. And the WWE basically said, whatever deal you get, you come back to us. We get, you know, we get the first priority on matching it or beating it. And they did. That's how you handle it, as opposed to just bitching about the company and then claiming you never did it.
Absolutely, and here's something else to think about. You talk about who they're not going to out-charisma. Hell, they're not even going to out-charisma the maximum male models, you know?
Not really, no. That's true.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so when you got that going on, I mean, look, Jay White and these other guys, and basically they're talking about, the FTR is talking about, you know, where this guy, where the Andersons and all that stuff are, you know, that type of, they're basically wrestling type guys. They fit better. It's a better fit for them in AEW than it is. Now, granted, here's the deal. I mean, that whole fighting for a contract deal and all that stuff, the WWE did a good job way back when they did that whole thing with it was that gimmick with Punk, right? Where he walked out and all that stuff to prove that his worth to a company. In fact, they even worked it into another gimmick where, you know, everybody walked out on Triple H because they thought he was not running the company, being a bad general manager and all that stuff. But that was a way they found, the WWE found a way to use something like that. And really, at the time, CM Punk wanted to be a professional wrestler, and he was playing along, right? And he did in that particular segment, in that particular place, he did his job well. So. And he won't want to do his job. These people that are doing this stuff, that are bad-mouthing the other company, you know, or whatever, aren't being professionals.
No, and you know, CM Punk, as much as I don't like him and I don't want him back in the WWE, that's where he belongs at this stage of his career. He's older. He doesn't want to do these. He's easily injured, apparently. He doesn't want to do these 25-minute matches with much younger talent. He wouldn't have to do any of that in WWE. He'd be doing 6-8-minute matches. 90% of the time, he'd just be on the microphone. He probably wouldn't be working a lot of the Raws as far as wrestling. He'd do a Raw here or a SmackDown there, a pay-per-view. That's it. Very easy schedule. Getting older, easy schedule. they really want you for your mic ability more than your ring ability, so you don't have to worry about doing 20-minute matches. This is why AJ Styles and guys like that want to stick to where they are, because they're saying, when I was younger, I might want to go to the AEW because I was filled with, I want to do 25-minute matches and get standing ovations. And now when you get older, you're just like, look, if I can work less and make more at this stage of my life, would I not be dumb to say I don't want that? So Punk kind of worked it in reverse. Jericho, he's good because how many times did he wrestle? But if Jericho had to do a full-time schedule, he's not doing it. He's not doing it. So I've heard recently that John Moxley actually was on his own wife's program, and he was saying that the backstage drama in AEW is ridiculous, and if he wants to stay out of it, but it's at a high level. Well, I mean, join the club. I don't think you're any better in the WWE, because what I've heard recently is that now that the company has been sold, and Vince McMahon no doubt is back in power. There's no doubt. Company that bought it said it was one of the prerequisites of them buying it, that Vince McMahon would stay in power. So with that in mind, I'm hearing that there are a lot of workers, including one who has remained nameless but has been described as a main event talent, who said, I doubt very greatly, I'll wait and see what happens, but I doubt very greatly when my contract comes due that I will sign it without seriously weighing my options. Okay. Well, here's the thing. We can get on here, and we will, and complain at the top of our lungs about Vince McMahon and his booking, and Vince McMahon and his micromanaging, and Vince McMahon and the way he handles talent. And all of that's legitimate, and that's why we have shows like this. But at the end of the day, it's his. Now, it may not be his to own anymore, but it's his to run. And if they have given him full permission to run it as he sees fit, then yeah, then it is what it is. You don't want to work there, don't work there. But we can't just automatically say, oh, well, I'm not staying unless you do the following things. Then this is going to work a little different now. This company used to be a huge, huge, biggest wrestling company in the world. It is now bigger than that. Now that they've merged and UFC and WWE are under one banner, one company, one publicly traded company, they're enormous. They're an enormous machine. You don't want to work for them, don't. But I don't think they're going to kiss your ass. I think those days are over. So tread lightly, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of rope that you're given before you hang yourself. So think, look before you leap. Now, I want to clear up one thing, because I heard everyone saying a lot of layoffs are coming. Yes, a lot of layoffs are coming. But let's clear it up. Very few of them are going to be talent. Most of them are going to be executives, and here's why. Now that it's one company, you don't need two separate public relations offices. You don't need two separate advertising offices. So they're going to merge them. They're going to say, well, we have 40 people working in this. For the UFC, do you really need 40 people working for WWE? Can we just have 20 and 20, 40 altogether? Which means 40 people got to be laid off. That makes perfect sense business-wise. If you're going to merge your companies and you had executives at every single branch and workers at every single branch, you're not going to need every one of them anymore, because now you're one company, not two. Has nothing to do with the talent. It has to do mostly with executives. So when you read this, don't panic and say, Vince is back and he's going to start cutting people. Maybe he will, but that's not what they mean by this now. They're going into the main offices and deciding which offices can we combine, which is what any business does, Mike, when they merge. So this is not unusual.
Right. I know this isn't a political show, but I'm going to put it in. you know, the federal government has, when we talk about cutting cash and stuff like that, with cutting things with the federal government, it all comes down to these various things that are inside the federal government, that you have multiple people basically doing the same job. You know, you may have one thing over here with 20, 40, 50, 60 people, and another thing over here with 20, 40, 50, 60 people doing the same job, basically doing the same job, but it's two different, you know, cabinets or whatever, you know. And so, and when we talk about cutting costs, that's the first thing that needs to be cut. When you work smarter, not harder. And
that's right. I mean, you don't need two executive vice presidents in charge of advertising. Why would you? You're one company now. The advertising is going to be for UFC and WWE together. You may need a few more people. In other words, let's just say for sake of argument, you had 100 people working at one branch for UFC, and you have 100 people working in one branch for the WWE. You might not want to go with just 100, because you're going to say, well, now that we've got the second company in, we're going to need at least 150. But we don't need 200. So 50 people get laid off. And that's just the way it is. I don't think they're all going to be from WWE. They're probably going to lay off some of the people from UFC who are working for UFC. But they will combine the offices backstage. Now, as far as the guys being very upset with Vince McMahon, let's wait and see what happens. Give him a chance and we'll see exactly if the rumors are true. If SmackDown tonight, Raw on Monday is horrible, we got a problem. We got a major problem because Monday Night Raw was terrible. Worst WrestleMania Monday Night, post-WrestleMania Monday Night Raw I've ever seen. And I know a lot of people are complaining about the Cody Rhodes situation from WrestleMania. So I went and got a little information on that. And here's what the promoting attitude is. And I'm not sure I disagree with this. They were saying, look, it was very obvious going into this that the fans thought Cody was going to win. So a little bit of a surprise isn't the worst thing in the world. Secondly, we wanted to make sure Cody earned it. In other words, let's make sure he is the guy. Put him in a feud against Brock. Put him in a feud against somebody else. Make him earn it. And then when he works his way back up, if he really is the guy and we're really confident he's the guy, then we'll give it to him. But we're not sure he's the guy. See, I said that from the very beginning. They're having cold feet about whether he's the guy. It's a great ending to the story. Don't get me wrong. It's a great ending to the story if Cody Rhodes was holding the belt over his head at WrestleMania. But then you've got to think about what happens going forward. Is he that guy? And if you find out he's not, you got to take it away from him right away. It was almost worthless to end Roman Reigns' streak. So you were better off saying, let's make this guy lose, hopefully get the sympathy of the fans. Make him come out and not even complain. Remember, he didn't complain Monday night. He said, oh, you were just a better man that night, which is patently untrue. But they tried to make him be a face and say, oh, I'm not going to bitch about it, in hopes that you'll cheer for him in the Brock Lesnar feud. And if he overcomes Brock Lesnar, then he's starting to earn his support. People were yelling one more time when Brock Lesnar was beating the hell out of him. He's already starting to lose his support. People were literally getting behind Brock Lesnar through some of that. I don't know, man. I've said it pretty much since day one, and I've prefaced it by saying I like Cody Rhodes very much. Met him a few times, talked to him a few times. Nice guy. Very intelligent about the world of professional wrestling. Extraordinarily focused on fans and what he thinks fans want. He's a genuine guy. He's not disingenuous. He's not smug. He's not arrogant. He's not any of those things. But I don't think he's the guy. And I never did. I just don't. So maybe they can try to make him the guy. You got to remember, Roman Reigns wasn't the guy either. They tried to make Roman Reigns the guy how long? And fans kept rejecting it and rejecting it and rejecting it. Eventually, they did make Roman Reigns the guy. But it took a while, Todd, so maybe it's going to take a little while with Cody.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, right now, Cody is not the guy to be WWE and undisputed WWE Universal Unified Champion. Like you said, he needs to work on work his way up to the top. Maybe working with Brock Lesnar might help a little bit to get him.
I think that's what they're thinking, Mike. I think they're thinking, let's see going forward if Cody maintains his support before we consider him our top guy.
Right. Remember what I said, and you basically agreed with me, that they promised him the title. They just didn't promise them the title. They just didn't say when. Right?
Right.
So, and he did sign a relatively long contract. I mean, three, 4 years, whatever it is. And he's 36 years old now, so that'll get him to about 40. So, we'll see what happens with this. And Brock Lesnar is not going to be around. I mean, he's going to be around, but he's not going to be around all that often. Right? So, run a short feud with him and then end up beating Brock Lesnar, yeah, it's going to help him out. Now, will they, he seems disingenuous and all that stuff, the way he dresses, the way he acts and all that stuff, but maybe they ought to think about flipping him heel, because he has that car salesman used car salesman type vibe, and people generally hate that type of vibe. But that's up to the WWE. We'll see what happens with this. We'll see if he can recapture some of the basically the face he got off of Sammy's back.
Yeah, I think that's what they're worried about. And I think it's a legitimate concern. I don't necessarily disagree with the ending of WrestleMania. I agree with all the fans who say it would have been the end of the story. Yeah, I know. It would. That's the beautiful fairy tale ending that everybody expected. But the WWE is a business at the end of the day. And if the WWE is thinking maybe this isn't the right time, maybe we need to test Cody a little bit more to make sure the fan base is there, to make sure he can be the guy, I'm okay with that. Now, there's another conspiracy theory, and I hope that this does not prove to be true. If this proves to be true, this is a big problem. I had some people say to me, do you know how much money FanDuel made taking bets that Cody Rhodes was going to win that title? All the money was on Cody Rhodes winning the title, and suddenly he loses. And oh, guess what? You all lost your money except one or two people who knew, who made coin, cha-ching. Let's hope that's not true. If anybody can prove that, it's just an allegation, but if anybody can prove that, this is the reason you cannot bet on a predetermined event. You can't do it. How about if FanDuel takes bets on, well, I'm going to see a concert, and I think the band is going to open up with this song, because they've always opened up with this song. I've seen them 10 times, and they always open up with this song. So I'm going to bet $50,000 that they open up with this song, because last week they opened up with that song, and every other time they've opened up with that song. And you go tell the band, and the band is like, well, I mean, send the roadies down to bet $50,000 we're not, and we'll open up with another song tonight. We can control that. See, that's the problem. When you can control it, how do you bet on it? Because then you can do stuff like that. If you're betting on how many free throws a guy's going to get in a game or how many three-point shots he's going to get in a game, that's hard to control. How many strikeouts a pitcher's going to have during the course of his innings, that's hard to control. But it's as easy as pie to control who's going to win a wrestling match. You can change it as they're literally standing in gorilla position. You can say, change their mind. And then nobody would know but you. Right? So I have a big problem with that. So we'll see. I don't think that's the case, and I'm not making that allegation. But if that's the allegation, and somebody can prove that, you can't bet on professional wrestling. Shouldn't really anyway, unless it's something stupid, like how many minutes is the match going to go, or how many suplexes are going to be in the match, or will they or will they not take it outside. You can control that too, but I don't think the WWE would worry much about that. These wins and losses, and it doesn't matter in the long run anyway. These wins and losses could matter in the long run. Somebody's career. And if it's that easy to just say, Cody's scheduled to win. We got 5 minutes to go before his match is on. What's the odds? 75-1? All right, wait till actually they're being announced, and then we're going to bet X amount of dollars that he's not going to win. Nobody else is going to be able to get their bet in by that length of time, and we're guaranteed winner. That's the temptation to do that. It'd be pretty outstanding. So, yeah, I'm not for that. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I think we're right when we say they just got cold feet as if Cody Rhodes could be that guy. So, we'll see. Anyway, folks, aside from that, we're being told that we are going to see some returning superstars possibly tonight or Tuesday or Monday. One of them being AJ Styles. Now, Randy Orton, they said, is still a little ways away. And they're not really sure what his involvement is going to be. But AJ Styles, we should see. They haven't said in what capacity, whether he's going to still be the heel or a face, whether he's going to be hooked up with the OC, who we virtually have vanished, or what. Process is, you probably got one more really good run out of AJ Styles. Don't blow it. Whatever you're going to do with him, this is probably the time to do it. So if you're going to, I would love to see him go against, you want to put him on SmackDown, he can go against Gunther. Would be a really good match, right? Can you imagine AJ Styles versus Gunther? What a great match, right? Or AJ Styles even versus Austin Theory would be a great match. There's a lot you can do, but you're going to have to do it relatively quickly. And then even if AJ Styles has a few years left on his contract, the last year or so should be putting over other guys and helping with the company and, not having his run. This is going to be his run. So we'll see if AJ Styles is important to this federation as it relates to being a top guy, or if they've already nailed him in that position, Mike, of being a guy who's just going to put over new talent and help, manifest the future.
Right, and here's the deal. If he does do that thing with Gunther, that's a good way to use to possibly use Anderson and Gallows as well. I mean, you can still have them do the whole OC thing because you can have the OC versus the Imperium, right? So, and that there's other two guys, and Anderson and Gallows would be a good series of tag team matches,
Absolutely. Now, Derek is saying, I don't really see the problem with gambling on pro wrestling because we don't know what's going to happen for sure. No, we don't. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with the fact that it can be controlled. In other words, gambling on pro wrestling is like me saying, I'm thinking of a number, Derek, between 1 and 7. If you give me the right number that I'm thinking of, I'll give you $10,000, but you got to bet $100. And then you say, okay, here's $100. Were you thinking of number 1? And I said, no, I'm not. Well, how do you know? I can change it anytime I want. Maybe you were right and I just lied. You can't gamble that way. So in other words, if somebody takes a look at the odds on Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns and says, holy shit, we had Cody Rhodes winning up to about a minute ago, but we could make ourselves $50,000, $100,000 more tonight by just changing that, we'll let Cody win another time. Who cares? That's a problem. Because then not only are you changing the actual script because of money and because of gambling, which affects Cody Rhodes, affects other people, but all those people who bet, you just stole their money. You just stole every $10 bill that somebody bet on Cody Rhodes. You stole it because they were going to win. So that's a huge problem. I am not for gambling on something that somebody has full control over the outcome of. It would be like going and betting on a roulette wheel when they say we can stop the wheel on any number we want, which they might be able to do. But they say they can't. But if you go to a roulette wheel and say, I'm betting all my money on black, and they can guarantee stop it on red, that's not fair. They stole your money. You don't know whether it's going to be red or black, but if they do, then they've stole your money. And if they can change it, if you pick the right color, then they've stole your money. And it would be very tempting for FanDuel to be able to do that because they get all that money. See, that's the thing. If FanDuel takes a look and says, we got to pay out $150,000 or $200,000 to one person or maybe another $100,000 or $200,000 to a few other people who just bet $10, $20, $30. But we're taking in $3, $4, $5, $6 million on bets that are wrong. All you'd really have to do if you're FanDuel is to say, how are we going to make the most money? Relay it to the people in charge of the WWE and tell them if you want to place a decent bet, we don't care if you make $100,000 because our earnings from the losers are going to be way more than that. That's a big problem. It's a big problem. So I'm not for it. If you want to bet on other little things in pro wrestling other than the outcomes, that's fine. That's fine. You want to bet how many minutes are going to be spent outside the ring? Will there be a table broken? Will there be a chair introduced? Will somebody go over the top rope? They're not going to alter that. They're just not. Because there's not going to be enough money bet on it to make it worthwhile. That's like fixing a horse race. I used to be a big, big horse race gambler. You're not going to fix a horse race if the purse is $500 and the payoff's, going to be weak. There's no point of fixing it. There's really no point. By the time you bet all of that money, if you bet, $10,000 on a horse at a little small track, that horse is going down to no money. That horse is going down to the favorite, 1-to-1. The idea is you get other people to bet on a horse. And when that horse has $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 bet on it, then you put a little $10,000 bet on the horse that's really going to win, and it doesn't affect the odds that much. So your horse still stays 2 or 3 to 1. He's not the favorite. And that way you can cha-ching. But if you just blanketly say, I'm putting $150,000 down on a 100-to-1 horse, it's the favorite. In a small track, it would be the – you'd make a dime if he won. You'd make a dime on every $2 bet. It's not enough to fix it. That's why the WWE wouldn't fix small things. There wouldn't be enough money bet on it. But wins and losses, there's going to be a lot of money bet on it. And the temptation would be there, so I would not do that. Now, as far as the Bron Breakker situation, because Derek is saying, Bron Breakker could be the guy brought up. I really thought he was going to be brought up. But he flipped heel in NXT. And it looks like he's staying in NXT as a heel. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they've stalled his debut. I really thought Once he lost the title, I said, well, there's your guarantee. He's showing up Monday night, if not Friday night. But if you take a look at NXT, Mike, he's still there. He flipped heel. I can't imagine you'd waste your time flipping him heel and then bring him up.
Right. I don't think you'd waste your time there. We know that wrestling is predetermined, right? Most other sports are not predetermined. Yeah, people will go, well, what about the 1919 White Sox? Well,
right. You can speculate, but they're not supposed to be.
They're not supposed to be, but if you can, that Rothstein guy can prove that if you can get a certain amount of players to take the money, you can fix a World Series or whatever. He proved that, and he did. He got a certain amount of the players to take the money and do what they did, and it was illegal. It was highly illegal and all that stuff. This whole thing with this FanDuel betting is not good. And from FanDuel's, thing, what happens? I mean, basically said we weren't expecting that the Miz to wrestle on WrestleMania. And it was a 3-minute match or four-minute match, yeah. But what happens with FanDuel and they say, well, oh, they're going to throw something at the wall and see if it sticks. And then FanDuel says, well, you did this to us, and we may have wanted to take some bets on this match, And we know how to
– No, I get it. I see what you're saying, but, I mean, listen, we can have this argument with all sports. Derek is saying, well, there's a referee in jail for – because a referee can control certain things. Well, he can control certain things. Referee cannot control really the outcome of a game. How's a referee going to control the outcome of a game? He could sit a player down. He could not call a foul. He could do whatever. But at the end of the day, if the other team sucks ass and they can't put a ball in the basket, they're not going to win. But you've just actually proven my point, Derek, and that is whenever a non-predetermined sport is involved with heavy gambling, guess what else is involved? Organized crime. And they can twist people's arms to help predetermine a game. Can you imagine what they could do in the WWE or AEW? They could get away with murder because they caught that referee, right? And you know why? Because he probably did some things that you're like, that's highly suspicious. What's highly suspicious in a wrestling match? It's all rigged. All anybody would have to say is, that's the way it was always supposed to be. We had that script for a month. How can you prove otherwise? How can you prove otherwise? You can go back on a videotape and say, that call you missed, this call you missed, you illegally did that, you set this guy down with no good cause, you obviously favored this team. Just like in a horse race, it's not predetermined, but you can tell when a jockey's holding his horse back. You can tell when a jockey does not want to win. And they can be fined and suspended for doing that. But you can't do that in pro wrestling. What are you going to do? You're going to go to Kevin Owens and say, Kevin, Vince McMahon told you to win this match, but we're going to have you lose. He's not going to do it. Because it's predetermined. They're not going to do that. What they are going to do is they're going to find somebody on the inside who says, this is definitely what's happened. They're going to have their moles. It's just not good. It's not good in the long run. It's not good for pro wrestling. Not really even good for sports because of what Derek's saying. Umpires can do ridiculous things in a baseball game. They can call balls and strikes unfairly. But at the end of the day, they can't really control the game because if the first pitch comes in and somebody hits a home run, they didn't get a chance to call that ball on a strike. A referee, an umpire, somebody like that, an official, they can slant the odds way in your favor, but they can't guarantee you that they can fix the game. They can't guarantee a certain team will win. Wrestling, you can. And no one would even blink twice or nobody would even question it. What are you supposed to do? The FBI is going to say, well, it's mighty funny. Cody Rhodes was supposed to win. They say, no, he wasn't. Who told you Cody Rhodes was supposed to win? We always had Cody Rhodes losing. This is pro wrestling. We just wanted to swerve the audience. There's no way to ever catch them. There's no way to ever catch them. You could have R-Truth beat Brock Lesnar. And when the feds come and say, oh, come on now. They say, oh, no, we're building up this thing, and that this was an important part of the storyline. There's no way to catch them. They could do it forever. So, Todd, that's why I'm not for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, rigged gambling and everything, and like you said, we all know wrestling's predetermined, and we all know that
you should not be able to bet on something that can be controlled right down to the guarantee at the last minute. It can be controlled when you're in the ring. I have heard many times that wrestlers were in the ring told you're going over tonight. And the referee was told, tell them differently. We've changed our mind. Not because there was gambling on it. Because they thought better of it and said, you know what? No, I don't want that ending anymore. Tell so-and-so, you know, you're losing by count out. And so they do. Last minute. You can't have that. Because it's basically stealing your money. It is exactly what I gave the analogy of. It's me saying I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. And when you say, is it 7? I say, no. Prove it. It's only in my mind. I can change it anytime I want. Same thing with pro wrestling. Can't be done. Now, do I think Vince McMahon coming back, because I've been asked this, is going to really lead to a disaster? No, because here's the difference. Vince McMahon before had nobody to answer to. Nobody. If Vince, well, I mean, he had the TV stations to answer to, but I mean, not even that much. What's the TV, what's USA going to do? Say, we're going to kick Raw off? No. Vince McMahon could do what he wanted. It was his toy to play with. It's not his toy to play with anymore. He has the toy in his possession, and he's allowed to play with it. But at any time, the owner can come and take it away. That couldn't happen before. If Vince McMahon's decisions start adversely affecting the bottom line of this company, they are going to get rid of him. Period. End of conversation. So he does have somebody to answer to now. So there is going to be a point where Vince McMahon, for the first time probably in his life, is really going to have to answer to somebody. Now, are they going to leave him alone for the most part? Probably. But again, if they see dive-bombing ratings, lower advertising rates, prices dropping in their stock, they're going to point the finger at Vince, and they're going to say, you need to go. So it is a little bit different, Mike. It's not like it was before this buyout.
Right. It's much like what happened with Eric Bischoff and Ted Turner. Ted Turner put Eric Bischoff in charge and said, get this done, and you have most of the power. And for a while, Eric Bischoff had all the toys to play with, and he played with them. And until the point at which Ted Turner said, I'm pulling some of the money back, you know, then things started to, well, maybe they started to go bad before then, but they really started to go bad once, what's his name, didn't have the money to play with. And Ted Turner said, and the rest of Turner at the time said, well, we're taking this power away from you. Money is power, right?
Yeah.
Once they take the money away from you, you're done. Once they take the power away from Vince, he's done. And whether or not they take the power away from him is up to this new company, not him.
Yeah, Endeavor is probably giving him a fairly long leash, but not an endless one. So he's going to have to play ball a little. He's going to have to show that his way is successful. Otherwise, he's going to be subject to the same thing anybody, any employee would be. He doesn't have any special privileges of I can't be fired, I can't be replaced. He certainly can be at this point. Certainly can be. So he'll have to play ball to some extent. With the amount of money, by the way, Vince McMahon, having made this sale, is now for the first time in his life on the top 100 wealthiest people in the United States of America. He just cracked number 100. I think he is number 100. So he's laughing all the way to the bank. And regardless of what you think about Vince McMahon, and, you know, in his later years, we have really taken him to task. But you have to give the devil his due. Without Vince McMahon, if you think for any stretch of the imagination that wrestling would be where it is now, it would not be. Vince McMahon is the person who brought wrestling into the mainstream and made wrestling something that was accepted. Before, it was in armory somewhere with a bunch of yokels who thought it was real going on a Friday night and paying $8 for a ticket to sit there and say, that bastard, no. Now all of a sudden it's Hollywood celebrities, it's other sports figures. That was all Vince McMahon. I don't care what anybody said. That was all Vince McMahon. That's not going to happen without him. People point to New Japan and say, well, yeah, New Japan, that's one thing. It wasn't going to happen in the States without Vince McMahon. It just wasn't. Yes, they sold big arenas out down south before him, but it wasn't on national television. You know when it was on television? Midnight on some local station somewhere, or 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning somewhere. It wasn't prime time, top-rated shows until Vince McMahon came along. So we can say he's lost his touch. We can say he needs to go. You can call him every name in the book, Mike. At the end of the day, if you're a big wrestling fan, you owe him a big debt of thanks.
Right. And best example of what you're just talking about, Mid-South UWF, down where I live at, guess when they were in their shows? Midday on Sundays.
Right. Yeah, here too for a while. We had a WWE program that was on like Sunday at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. God have mercy. You know, or I think it was on Saturdays at midnight or something like that too. So Todd, you know, listen, Vince McMahon may have lost his touch a little bit, but again, tread lightly because he's the reason wrestling's where it is.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the back in the day with programming. Well, like you said, I remember Superstars of Wrestling used to be on at 12 noon on Saturdays and Wrestling Challenge on Sundays at noon and All-American Wrestling on Sundays as well. And you
right.
And you had Wrestling Spotlight Saturday mornings.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's brought it a long way, so I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what ends up happening. Don't blame the Cody Rhodes decision on him. I don't think that was all him. That Monday night might have been a disaster because of him. We'll see what happens tonight. Anyway, folks, have a great Easter or Passover, whatever you're celebrating. We will not be here on Sunday due to Easter, but we will be here on Tuesday. Have a great holiday, and we will see you then. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade.